Aloha, Tiki Files. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. My guest this episode is Nick Ivara, the mastermind behind the bar program at Hot Joy in San Antonio. Those of you who've listened to the podcast since the beginning will definitely remember Nick from episode 5. It's been quite some time since we first chatted with Nick, and Hot Joy has some really rad stuff in the works, such as a bring-your-own tiki mug night, monthly tastings, and a new menu coming out to help kick off summer the right way. So I figured what better time to catch up. We recorded this episode on location while Nick was in service. He made us a couple cocktails to quench our thirst while we chatted, one of which was the Missionary's Downfall. We haven't used that as a drink of the episode before, so we'll use it here, and the recipe will be in the show notes. Thanks again for joining me for another episode of Marooned, but before we get started, hit pause, blend up a Missionary's Downfall. That way all you'll have to do is sit back, relax, and enjoy. Episode 18 of Marooned, the Texas Tiki Podcast. Oh, they're a fucking nightmare to work with. Believe me, I've got one myself, and I've used it once because it was so terrible.
Like, I wonder how like shaved ice would be with it, but I don't know. We'll see. It's also like one of those things. Like ice will get stuck in it,
yeah.
And like will freeze, like with in the straw. So it takes a time for it to like defrost the pain.
I'll survive. I'll drink. I'll work around it.
Cool.
But yeah, if you need to stop, I know you're in service. So
no,
if you need
to... break. He's good. He's okay. All caught up.
All right.
I batched everything so we could talk about everything.
Sweet. Well, thank you for taking the time to sit down with us. We have Nick from Hot Joy
joining us
once again. Figured it'd been a little while since we'd done one. You guys got
it's almost, 2 years?
Yeah.
Maybe a year and a half?
Yeah. Just about. I would say going closer to 2 years because it was like late summer when we did the first one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys. You guys got some cool new stuff going on. You got the new menu coming out after your trip.
After the trip now.
You've got a trip coming up that's supposed to be real cool.
13 tiki bars in 5 days.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds daunting.
Oh,
man, your liver's going to hate you.
Yeah, it definitely will, if it doesn't already. But it should be fun.
So what is your itinerary? What are your stops?
So we get to San Fran at 10 a.m., so we'll get breakfast, you know, check in the hotel, 5 o'clock, go to Smuggler's Cove, get dinner at 6:30. When we're done, go back to Smuggler's Cove. We plan on doing Last Rites, Zombie Village for sure, Trader Vic, the Tonga Room. There's still more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You haven't even crossed the bay at that point.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
Alameda,
Trader Vic's, yeah.
There's still so many Forbidden
Island?
Yeah, Forbidden Island for sure. Even at that, like there's still like other bars outside of the tiki bars that I want to go to.
Even getting closer to Bakersfield, you can go to Tiki Co. Tiki Co.
Yeah.
Supposed to be doing real cool stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot to do in the 5 days that we're there, but I'm super excited to kind of experience like high volume great cocktails, and my mission is to, like, drink everywhere but then also find some super like exclusive rums that we can't get in Texas. So that's like my main goals: eat, drink, find some really cool rum, and then learn, of course.
Well, and I think Smugglers had just done a select batch of Clement. I think they had something exclusive
okay.
come out.
Nice.
So if they still have some, you gotta let me know how it is.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll definitely be coming back with a couple awesome bottles.
Yeah, for sure.
Or maybe I'll drink them there, but
yeah.
we'll find out.
You'll experience a couple cool bottles. But yeah, man, so catch us up. You guys got a new menu coming out. You're doing the Bring Your Own Mug Tuesdays. You're going to start doing tastings. I mean...
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot going on. For me, I felt like within the last 2 years that I've been doing this, there's a great following. And it's a small following, but there's a passionate... a passionate crowd for rum, tiki, and like overall just a great time. So for me, I was like, I have the opportunity to have this great outlet for friends of mine, and people who enjoy rum and tiki culture. And I was like, this year's the year where we push rum to a new boundary in San Antonio and get people on board with how awesome it is, how versatile and flexible it is, how delicious it is.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was like, well, what are the things that we can do to bring people into the restaurant, into the bar, and have a good time? So the Bring Your Own Tiki Mug was like one of my first things I thought of. And I was like, well, you know, this may be super niche and many people may not have mugs. But it's actually turned out the past 2 weeks have been really, really awesome. Been really supportive from a lot of our friends and randoms, which is really, really cool. So all you do is literally bring a tiki mug, and every cocktail you have with that mug is 20% off each cocktail. I feel like that's a great deal.
Yeah.
Happy hour is every day till 7 p.m. too, so you get to benefit happy hour and 20% off on cocktails until, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
Or until we cut you off.
Yeah. But
it's you know, it's one of those cool things that I felt like we should be doing. You know, everyone loves a great deal. And to me, 20% off is pretty ideal with good products, honest products. So we're doing that. And then once a month, we're picking a specific rum or a specific company for the most part, and having our local rep or regional rep come in, sit down and do a tasting. So we'll have Florida Connie coming up next Tuesday, and we'll sit down, we'll taste every one of their products that we carry, and they may or may not be bringing stuff that no one's had or that we can't get here. It includes food and merchandise and something super fun. It's, you know, hour and a half long of where you're able to drink, enjoy yourself, and more importantly, learn about the spirit and learn about rum, where it's coming from, how they do it, why they do it, and all that cool stuff. So, those are the two like cool projects that we're doing involving guests with what we're doing and then getting them to be aware of rum and appreciate it a bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely one thing for the people to come in and just order drinks off the menu, but it's a whole different thing to actually understand what they're looking at. I mean,
yeah, it's a whole new experience.
Yeah, for most of San Antonio, they're not going to know. I mean, looking at the menu, they're not going to know what a Demerara rum is. Hell, I'm sure most of them see Jamaican rum, they think Myers.
Yeah.
They see white rum, they think Bacardi, you know? So I think it's cool to do, like, the educational part of it and teach people about the distilling process and, you know, the different kinds of distilling processes. So.
And I think the cool thing with that, too, is, like, I've definitely been getting way more into, like, the process, but also training in the work. Like environment, this helps, you know, some of our people who have days off come in and enjoy, you know, what I'm so passionate about and what I want to give to people. And so I really enjoy the fact that people are kind of already really into what we have coming up. Because we have Florida Kanya next Tuesday. 2 weeks after that, we have Plantation.
Which I'm really then, psyched for.
The month after that, we have the Real McCoy coming down, too. And we're working on El Dorado and a couple of other, like, super rad stuff that may be a little harder to get, but something that everyone should experience.
Gotta get Rum JM and Bounty down here also.
We definitely have that in the works. And I want to do some, like I said, some, like, just weird, really cool stuff. That you, most people really haven't heard of their names or don't know what's going on with this specific company, and that will go hopefully later on down the year, because we're trying to just do once a month. I don't want to overwhelm people.
Yeah, for sure.
With knowledge and, you know, the amount of money you're spending, which I think is a great deal. You know, you're tasting all these different
yeah, it's $30.
Yeah,
it's $30 a head, which, like, is a great deal.
Yeah, all these rums, food and merchandise, to me, I feel like that's a steal. We'll see what I have up my sleeve, too.
It's
cool stuff.
I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I'm a huge Plantation guy. Got to get Ed back here. See, I wanted to come when Ed was here, but it was early in the day, and it was a weekday.
Yeah, and that's the beauty, too, is that now that we're doing two seminars, one's going to be in the morning for the staff. The one at night will be staff, too, but you could definitely, it's open to the public. First come, first serve. It's RSVP only. Ed Hamilton is definitely on the radar.
All right.
So it'd be great to have him back.
Yeah. And then you, like I said, you got the new menu coming out. You've actually updated the current one already.
I definitely updated the current one. We're slowly working towards building the menu as I go with our staff right now. I don't want to overwhelm anybody. And it's a lot of like just research and tasting. Definitely going to focus heavily on a lot of the classics done the right way, or done what I think the right way would be. So that's my main focus, is adding really great classics, making them better. And then obviously my own, the other side of it is like being creative, which to me, I'm really excited about, because there's a lot of really cool stuff that I'm trying to nail down and get done. And I think this is probably going to be my favorite menu with all my favorite drinks I've ever created.
Yeah.
So I'm really stoked about this one.
So I know last time we had talked, you were talking about, like you said, experimenting, trying new stuff, being creative. I know last time we were talking, you had mentioned doing like sous vide-ing stuff. So, I mean, what kind of stuff are you talking about now in terms of, I mean, I feel like there's so much experimentation you can do in mixology or creating
drinks.
Yeah,
totally.
So.
We tend to do a lot of like sous vide with our syrups for consistency purposes. A lot of our blendings and infusions are sous vide as well. I really just kind of want to get weird with different citruses that are available. And I, you know, just the weird nerdy stuff, like clarifying without, or clarifying things without a centrifuge, you know, trying just weird things. And I mean, if they don't work, they don't work. I'll come back to it. You know, it's not like it has to get done today, but, that's the goal, is like just to, you know, do something just a little bit different.
Do something cool, but you want it to taste good. Yeah. You want it to be something people are actually going
to
order.
And it has to be practical too.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The thing. It's like with the bar size and
cost efficient.
So yeah, it's like, it's gotta be practical with what we have. So, and those are all things, it's all trial and error.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of like creating a mini, is like I love to fail, so I know what I can and can't do and how to figure that out.
So you've got some newer stuff on here. You're like the locals only. You've also got your frozen cocktails. You got the Nightwalker. So, I mean, when you're coming up with the newer stuff, you're coming up with a new flavor. Are you basing it off of the spirit? Or are you basing it off of a flavor you kind of have in your head?
It's a bit of both. Like I said, I like to use very transparent and honest products. Not saying that, you know, a rum company cannot, you know, do something different and be inventive or fun or creative, because I'm really into that as well. It's a bit of both. I like to, if I find a great rum that I like and I enjoy, I like to start with that. Or if there's a weird spirit out there and I was like, this can work, I'll go with that. But a lot of times it's just like an idea in the head with certain ingredients that I want to work with, and I try to build off that. But yeah, it goes both ways. It just depends. Like, to me, working with rum is easier for me than working with like a different citrus or a different sugar content, or I don't know, just like weird things that I am not really accustomed to. I'm really accustomed to rum and I enjoy it, so for me it's always easy to work with that. So I try to find like weird ingredients and kind of play with it and tweak it into recipes if I can.
Yeah. So any, because I know, I feel like even with tiki, as popular as it's become, I feel like it's cyclical. We're seeing different trends coming and going. I mean, for a while, I feel like people were really into agricole, so there were a lot of agricole drinks. I feel like Fashionola is like a really popular syrup right now since BG Reynolds came out with theirs. And it, since it's become a little more available, so any different types of syrups or anything you're going to be trying? Different things that other bars in San Antonio that may do tiki drinks that they're not going to be doing?
I don't know if I really want to say just yet.
All right.
I mean, because like I said, we're still testing waters. Our gardenia mix is going to be pretty awesome.
Okay, so Pearl Diver's coming to the menu?
Yeah, the Pearl Diver is an absolute must, especially for the summer. I really enjoy that cocktail. The Missionary Downfall I added right now just because it is the ideal, quintessential, light, breezy, refreshing cocktail for the Texas heat. So we'll be doing our own gardenia mix, and then there's a couple other like cool things I'm trying to work on. We're gonna toast black sesame seeds and make it into a syrup to have a dark black cocktail without using activated charcoal or dye. I'm trying to figure, you know, a way to do that. Something cool and fun. Once again, like innovative. But we'll see how that works out. I just literally thought of that idea today. I was like writing down, like before like service was here, I was like writing down all these ideas. Like, I can, how? Why? Let's just try it. So I'll go home later tonight and experiment with stuff.
Nice. And I mean, as far as your rum selection goes, I don't think I would be wrong to say you have one of the largest in San Antonio, if not the largest.
I definitely have the largest. We're sitting over 170 bottles right now.
Okay. Anything super cool that you've gotten in? I mean, I know you're always getting stuff in.
I mean, I really focus on, like I said, transparency and honest rums, and delicious stuff and stuff I really enjoy, stuff that I would have at my house, stuff I would love for people to come in and sit down and talk to them about. I'm a huge Agricole fan. I love Agricole. It's my favorite style of rum. So Duquesne, Blancs, kind of just on my shelf at home and on the shelf here. Propitas by Hamden Estate and Foursquare. That's another great, excellent white rum. I don't know. I mean, there's too many to choose, but those are something that you'll, like, you come to my house, that's something we're drinking when we first get there.
Yeah.
Like, whether you want to drink it or not, we're drinking it. Because it's just so delicious. I'm really excited about some of the new stuff that I'm getting. Hopefully, I'm getting a new bottle of Semirelli today, which is really awesome. I'm getting a couple new smaller imports from independent companies. And I'm really excited for those because one's really weird and awesome. It's not necessarily filtered all the way, so you have like charcoal parchments in a 10-year-old rum.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's real interesting and it's weird and it's super delicious, and like everything I'm getting is like coming from Guyana right now, and I really love Guyana rum, and these guys are doing something super awesome, and they're all like independent like bottlers, so they'll be doing their own take on things, aging it however they want to age it. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks I'll be getting some really cool stuff, and we'll definitely be showcasing those, because it's like there's 60 bottles left of some of these bottles that I'm picking up, and I don't want to sit on my shelf. I want people to enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the idea. That's why you're getting this stuff in here, because you want to sell it. I mean, it's nice having a nicely, fully stocked back bar, but it's not a museum. It's there to be sold.
Yeah,
and
it's you know, someone took the time to distill this and make this product, and then someone took that product and made their own take on it, aging however they wanted to, wherever they wanted to, and put it out for the public. And I'm thankful enough and lucky enough to be able to get some really cool products in our market, and I'm really excited just to share it with people so we can all sit down and, you know, enjoy a nice like pour of whatever rum I have coming.
So I guess to that end, do you have any plans to do like a rum list or keep something that people can look at with the pours? I mean, I think it's, you obviously have them all showcased. They're all in the back bar. It's really nice. It's all lit up. But I think, and that's something to consider, is having a list so people can see. The only problem is keeping it updated. And
and that's the big thing. The way I just think is like always more, you know, always finding something great. There's always great products out there. The city's growing super quick. Everyone's coming down here. Everyone's bringing great products. So for me to find or to make a list, I would have to change it almost weekly or bi-weekly, which isn't that big of a deal, but it's in the works. We're talking about it.
Okay.
It's just like at 170 bottles right now, then I'm bringing in 6 new ones next week. And if I talk to someone else this week and it's like, oh, we got this cool stuff. It's a lot of updating, a lot of paper, a lot of waste. And so, it's something that's always been on our mind. It's just kind of always been the back burner because the bar itself grows every week.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll find someone to help me out with that, because I do think it's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely beneficial, because then it saves you time while you're behind the bar. You're not having to pull down bottles or show off bottles and give prices all the time. So I understand. It's definitely a lot of work to maintain, but it also is a... It's a time saver for you.
No, so definitely.
Something to consider.
And, you know, you just open a book and you see 170 bottles of rum. It's like...
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's like people are like, oh, okay, all right, well, we'll look, and they're serious, and yeah, it's a work in progress. Hopefully I can get it sooner than later.
Yeah.
I'll see how Smuggler Cove does it.
That is definitely going to be definitely a field trip and something you're going to be scouting a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you have anything that you're really looking forward to trying at Smugglers, or just in general on your trip, anything that you're looking for?
I'm just looking to go on vacation and enjoy great drinks and eat some awesome food and visit a city that I haven't really spent much time in. I think that's literally all I want to do. It's like, don't text me, don't call me. Just let me just go to all these bars, and if I have an idea, you'll get the text message. Someone will get a text message.
As long as the bar is still standing, don't call me.
Yeah. So something like that. So, I'm just super excited about all the really just like drinking awesome tiki drinks and seeing how service runs and how they do it. I'm kind of excited to see a couple friends out there. So we'll see how it is. Let's see if I come back.
We're supposed to be heading out there at the end of July. I'm very intrigued. I want to see Smugglers in action because they've got, what do they have, 2 or 3 floors? So I'm very curious to see how they run efficiently. And I mean, you know, Martin's no slouch. He's not going to have people just running around with their heads.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
Chickens with their heads cut off.
I don't know. I'm nervous. I want to see like the 5 o'clock like happy hour rush, and then I want to sit there Saturday night, last bar before I leave San Fran, and see how they run that like during service.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
That'd be cool. And then Zombie Island docks new spot, which is impressive. I mean, it just, the cocktails look amazing. The bar itself looks amazing.
Yeah, they look super awesome. I think I'm gonna spend more money probably just buying tiki mugs out there than actually drinking.
It's like when we went to San Diego last February. I think we had to bring an extra carry-on for the mugs that we brought.
That's what I'm worried about. It's like with all the bottles I want to get and all the mugs I want to like get, I was like, we'll see how it works. Maybe I'll just ship them.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
We'll see. But yeah, I'm super excited just for it all. And being colder weather, I'm okay with that.
A little less humidity. Yeah. That's never a bad thing, especially in May.
Yeah.
You know, heading into summer.
Fresh seafood. I can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked for it all.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for a couple months already. And just like been looking every single day, like just things to do. And it's like, I think the list is pretty long. So we'll see if I could get it.
I mean, it's San Fran. There's like everything to do.
My list is long. It's scary, but it should be a good time.
Yeah. Well, and you got to check out, what is it, Whitechapel? I know it's not a tiki bar.
Yeah,
but
that's definitely one of the bars for sure.
But I've heard some people say the cocktails are better there than at Smugglers, which is also Martin's bar. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty bold statement. I feel like whatever you're going to get at Smugglers is going to be pretty textbook. But to say the quality of the cocktails are even higher at Whitechapel, that'll definitely be interesting.
It's definitely on the list to go for sure. And I've only seen pictures, and it looks absolutely fantastic and beautiful. Definitely one of Martin Kate's things. I kind of expect the best.
Well, and I was just thinking about that the other day. I was sitting at home, and I'm like, you know, you see all these pictures on Instagram of all these great tiki bars. You know what the insides look like. You know what it looks like before you even get out there. I was thinking, I don't even know what the outside of Smugglers looks like. And I googled the pictures just to see, and I remembered from the book, it's just like a industrial front with blacked out windows. I'm like, if you didn't know that it was Smugglers, you would think it's like a meatpacking warehouse or something, just because there's nothing out there. It's like the craziest thing to see, that there's just this, you know, industrial looking silver wall with windows that are all blacked out, and you're like, that's Smugglers? Like, yeah, I guarantee you, when you get there, you'll see it. You could have walked by it and not looked twice.
I may walk by it a couple times. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Exactly. I'm very excited to get out there, because we've never been out to San... Well, I've been to San Fran when I was a kid. Jen's never been out there, so I'm very excited to see Smugglers and Zombie Village and check it all out.
Yeah, there's so much going on over there right now, so that's why we was like, dude, let's do... You know, as long as we possibly can go, and just kind of—it's
a plethora of tiki. There, They're a little spoiled out there. Well, I mean, even just for San Fran, there's so much going on out there. Because, I mean, yeah, LA is one thing. They've got a good scene. But I feel like the quality of the scene in San Francisco is...
I mean, I think the core just is in San Fran. When it comes to tiki culture, San Fran has... It's the spot.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how it is. See, like I said, let's see if I come back. Maybe I'll just get a job up there. And
just stay?
Yeah, and just stay.
Like, good luck. Good luck, Hajoy. I don't know what you're doing with your new menu, but, you know, good luck.
So just keep what you have right now. I'll be back
It'll work, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I'm real excited for you. I can't wait to hear all about it.
There'll be plenty of pictures, for sure.
Oh, I'll be looking out every day on social media, seeing where you're at.
Or if I get back like to the hotel, we'll see if that happens.
If you can navigate your way back.
I think like I'm scared to actually go to one of these bars. It doesn't matter which bar. I'm like, oh man, I really, really want to work behind that bar right now. So I think that's one of those things. Like I'm like, I just asked the bartender, like, hey. Like, can I just help you guys? It's like, can I, like, prep for you guys?
Yeah, can I just hop back there real quick and do something?
It's like, just let me see how you guys, like, operate and run. I don't know. I'm worried, like, I'm going to be like, I should probably help you guys juice for a second. Or
there's so much secret stuff going on in there, though, that they would never let you back there. Because they're like, I think you may see something that you're not supposed to see, that the general public is not supposed to see.
I was like, we'll see. I'll drop a secret coin and be like, hey, this is... It's the real deal. Let's.
You'll bring out your USBG challenge coin to show that you're the real deal.
It's like, let's do it. I don't know. I tend to like when I go to places I really like. Obviously have to learn, and obviously their bars are doing something for a reason, and they're doing great for a reason. So it's always like, what information can I get out of you guys to like
to expand yours? Yeah. No, I mean that it's the same with music. You play with other musicians so that you can get better
and
learn something new from them. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I imagine meeting somebody like Martin Kate or Doc. I'm sure when Doc was down here for the takeover, I'm sure you were picking his brain trying to, what do you know?
Yeah.
What have you done that's so successful?
Him and Kevin, like, I had to. I was like, so how's service? How is this? How is that? How much juice do you juice a day? And I was like, oh, God. I can't
even imagine how much they go through.
It was a lot. Like, and I mean, they all have other bars, so they're juicing for other bars as well. But like the prep, the volume they do is scary.
Speaking of Doc, another one that I forgot, Pagan Idol.
Yeah. Oh, Pagan Idol, yeah.
That's another one you got to go to.
That is definitely on the list.
They're fucking spoiled out there. I hate people in the Bay Area because of how much good tiki. It's not even just that they have it. It's the quality that they have out there. Like, how dare you?
Yeah. And people love it. People respect it. They enjoy it. And that's, like, the beauty of it. We'll get there here.
Yeah.
Like I said, maybe. I mean, they said there's a couple tricks up the sleeve that hopefully one day I meet the right person. And or maybe I met the right person. And we'll see. So, I mean, a true tiki bar is... would be super awesome.
Something it would be small. I don't know that San Antonio's got it in it to commit. We'll
they
see.
They may. There's a following. There's definitely a following. I mean, within the last 2 years, I've seen a huge jump in people getting into what we do, what other bars do as well, being influenced by rum, being influenced by tiki and tiki culture, get into tiki and tiki culture. And that's what I'm excited about, because there's another tiki bar opening up next year, hopefully next year, in San Antonio, and then maybe one sooner than later. We'll see.
Like I always say, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah,
There's been talks of so many that are going to be opening, are supposed to be opening. We'll be opening soon. We'll be opening this time. We'll be opening this time. Most of them don't open, so we'll
see. I mean,
see.
It's a lot of work. That is sure.
I don't doubt that at all. But don't start hyping it up until you actually...
ready to commit.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see. Like I said, not trying to knock anybody, not trying to call anybody a naysayer, but show me, don't tell me. It's been my philosophy.
Well, hopefully we can get it.
Yeah.
Or make
no,
it work.
I would... I would love for that. I would love nothing more than for somebody to bring a tiki bar here and have it be cool. My fear is that it's somebody who's just going to be hopping on the fad, just wants to get in because tiki's hot right now. And then you wind up with, I don't want to name names, with any of the random pop-up bars that have popped up within the last year or two claiming to be a tiki bar, which,
yeah,
they're just not doing anything right. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm pulling for whoever that is.
Me too.
You all right? All right. How's that missionaries treating you?
Great.
Good. Yeah, I want one of those right now.
I know. Let's take a break. We'll see if we need some refills, and then we'll come back. So what's in that tea punch there?
The lime coin, real sugar cane syrup, and I used Duquesne 50 Blanc because Duquesne's, like I said, my go-to no matter what.
That's your jam right now.
Yeah, it's literally my favorite spirit or favorite distillate currently. I'm sure there's other great things out there. This is the one thing that just like makes me
feel
great.
Speaks to you.
Yeah.
I had made a tea punch at home with rum jam Vsop that was
terrific. Rum jam makes a great one. I just like the Duquesne. It's at that 50%. It's got that heat. It's not as sweet. It makes my favorite. So, I also have like 25 agricoles that I play around with. And I still go to Duquesne no matter what. It's also really affordable. That's the beauty of rum.
That's the best part, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when it's affordable.
Yeah. Then you get a great product, a true, like, honest product. It's super cool.
So, yeah, working on these missionaries. Thank you for those, by the way.
Dude, they're so good.
I really I appreciate your prep for that, how you have everything pre-prepped. It's a pain in the ass when I make them at home because then I either got to open up a fresh can of cubed pineapple, throw in a whole bunch of mint in the blender.
This is still like trial and error for me right here too. Seems to be working out fairly
but
well.
That's really smart because you're not relying on a bartender who's not gonna know. They just grab the tub, throw it in there.
And, yeah, and all pre-prepped, pre-weighed
out. Yeah,
that's
awesome.
I make a slightly bigger build on this Missionary Downfall than a traditional one.
The ones we've had in the past, they're in a coupe.
Yeah, a lot of them are in the coupes. This is kind of inspired by, I forgot what the bar is called, but it's out, and I believe in Paris. They have a tiki bar, and I couldn't even tell you. I have like articles at home about all these like bars, but he does like a big Missionary Downfall, and I like our drinks to be stiff. You know, you get your best bang for your buck when people see bigger cocktails and it still stays the same. There's more booze in the actual cocktail, a little more citrus in the cocktail. We get really great honey from Austin, so I was like, we could balance that and counteract it. A little more booze, a little less sweetness. Definitely make it a great summertime drink.
Well, and after we were here last Tuesday, Jen tried the Missionary's Downfall. Of course, that's, I think, probably her favorite cocktail. One of her favorite cocktails. So she always likes those. Wherever she sees them on a menu, she's definitely ordering them. But I was asking her, because I always like to play the fictitious bar owner. I'm like, do you think it would benefit if you just did a double? Because, it's nice seeing it in a coupe. It looks really nice. The presentation's great. But I feel like people would feel like they're getting more for their, like you said, bang for their buck.
Yeah, yeah.
Traditional recipe is only an ounce of rum. So, you do a double, that's still only 2 ounces of rum. Yeah. Nobody's getting fucked up off 2 ounces of rum. So, you weigh the cost. What's the additional ounce per pour plus the rum or the mint and the pineapple? So, I don't know. But I do like the build. I also thought it was interesting that you strain it.
Yeah. I am a huge fan of like not having chunks of things in my cocktails. Flavor should always be there. Viscosity should always be there. But to me...
But the mouth feels...
Yeah, it's like I don't want
chunks
of pineapple
or
mint.
Yeah, that makes sense.
When I'm drinking something or get stuck in the straw for me... I want to appreciate the cocktail as is. And to me, this made my best missionary downfall versus everything else I tested, just because it's just more of a cleaner mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Versus like a slushy or particles inside the cocktail.
And I definitely, that makes a whole lot of sense. Because like I said, you can make four in a row, but they're all going to have a different mouthfeel because the mint is going to always be blended up in a different way.
And this is also like easier for us to do in batches because it's all strained no matter what.
Yeah.
You're getting the same consistency 100% of the time and you can measure it out perfectly. So I enjoy it this way. It's beneficial for the bar, but it's also like the way I like my cocktails to kind of go down.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense when you're running the bar program or you're coming up with everything. You want things to be how you like them to be. Yeah. If they're cocktails that are indicative of the bar program you're running, it's an extension of you. That's a reflection on you.
So, totally. Yeah,
I can definitely appreciate that. So you said the prep is still trial and error. What is the trial and error? What's your prep like for when you're doing a new menu or trying out new cocktails?
It just depends. Like I said, depending on what I want to focus on or where I'm focusing this day on, it'll justify what I do. Juice every single day. That's always number one priority. But working on weird stuff. Like tonight, I'm going to go home and toast the black sesame seeds and kind of make a syrup out of that. Or I would do it here. Or I'm going to go home as well and make vanilla syrup. And it's just like one of those things. All these like little new things. It's all like trial and error to figure out how to do it efficiently, make sure it tastes delicious, and we can do it with our bar staff. Because I do like to use different methods of cooking syrups, whether it's blending in our Vitamix, to cooking it down, or to using a sous vide for consistency. It's just one of those. What method works best, efficiently, and what tastes best, ultimately. So that's just what it comes down to.
And you're always juicing and prepping before service. Because I never see anybody doing anything during service. Yep. Nobody is there juicing limes or juicing everything.
It's always day of prep, 3 hours before service. Someone opens and the opener preps and we get going and...
So I guess in what quantities are you batching stuff? So I mean, you're doing a simple. Do you do different variations of simple? Do you like just do a white simple or a demerara simple?
So I have probably 12 syrups right now. So they all just like they're all different in their own way. Like I said, it's just all experimental for me. It's like whatever I find that has the best consistency, the best texture, and the best taste is the way I go with it. So. You know, I could sous vide simple syrup, you know, and almost pointless at that time. But we blend ours, blend the honey. And then when cooking different, like, sugars like passion fruit and stuff like that, that's when we start, whether we sous vide or cook it in a pan or, you know, mix it. I tend to not cook a lot of things just because you lose water content. Things tend to be a bit sweeter. And for me, mouthfeel has to be number one. Sweetness has to be on the lower level of things. It's just, like I said, it's just all trial and error when it comes to stuff like this. It took forever to kind of get it down the way I like it. Like I said, I mean, you go to other bars and you could taste their syrups versus our syrups. And it's a huge difference. Just because I like mouthfeel and flavor and consistency. And it's my palate.
So other than the lost water content, what do you feel the sous vide is doing versus just, you know, sticking it in a pot and melting it all down?
So temperature consistency. So that you're going to get a very fine product. But also depending on what you're cooking in that sous vide is what justifies why I use it. So like if I use dehydrated fruit or freeze-dried fruit in a product, you know, generally I'll sous vide it versus letting it simmer on the stovetop. It extracts more, it pulls more. Same thing with other like products of that nature. I was doing a sweet potato, like really awesome sweet potato cinnamon syrup that I sous vide, and it just came out better doing that process.
Then it would have been cooking it down.
Yeah, it's a much longer process, but I think the consistency of the temperature or the consistency of the temperature is what really makes that whole product a good product. I'm not saying I could make a good product on the stove, but it just tasted that much better.
Yeah.
It's a weird science, whatever, hoo-ha, but it's...
But if it works and it gives you a product that you're going to be proud to put in your cocktails, then, you know, then it's worth it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm trying to go for.
Maybe not for the people who are going to be making cocktails at home. Maybe they don't want to sous vide their simple syrup, but yeah.
It's just, like I said, consistency, that's really what it is. I want to make sure I have a consistent product. Every time someone comes in here, we don't change things, like, let it be what it is. There are things that we do cook down, like our Don's mix is a bit different and weird. It's almost like an oleosaccharum of sort, but cooked. It's just kind of whatever we kind of figure out what works best for that individual syrup.
And the oleosaccharum is going to be the peels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Peels, sugar, citrus, and basically break it down with some cinnamon and... Not going to tell my recipe, but that's the gist of
but
it.
But for the folks who are not familiar with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm really thankful for the fact that I've worked behind a lot of great bartenders to learn these, like, really cool, fun ways of expressing citrus and sugars and making these sugars and simples and whatever it may be. Because, you know, it just took whatever I did to the next level and make it that much more fun. And more like proud about why we do it, how we do it, and this is why we do it. It's cool.
So, besides the syrups that you're making yourself, are you making anything else? Any of the other ingredients yourself? I mean, are you doing?
I've currently grown a garden.
Okay.
So we will be using fresh herbs, mint, of course. Hopefully for the fall, we'll be ready with a lot of herbs and veggies. That we can start utilizing as well. Nothing else that we really do other than syrups and juices and stuff
so
like that.
No orgeat or pimento dram or anything like that?
Orgeat we did on the last menu because the pecans were in season and they have an awesome pecan tree. Huge pecan tree in my backyard. So I was able to pick it fresh, clean it, make it. Time consuming. Falernum, orgeat, time consuming. I was sous vide-ing like my orgeat and I was like, you know, this product is so great. This is something I would just eat on its own. Or
put
drink
it on pancakes,
on its own.
You know?
Yeah, it's like I can't.
It's like, such a time suck that it's like every ounce is so valuable the time that you spent to make it.
Yeah, and I just couldn't keep up with like the... Even though it was on one cocktail, it was just like one of those seasonal things. I've done it before. It's just... It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot.
No, I make my own orgeat, and I know it's a pain in the ass.
I saw.
But that one was the new recipe. I was trying the smuggler's recipe. Normally, I have a few different ones that I rotate because I would say they're different levels of lazy. I've got the one where it's like, just soak them for 30 minutes, then mix that with the simple, and you're good. Or like this one, you know, boil the almonds. And then reduce that, then you gotta blend it all up, make a paste, let it sit for an hour. I'm like, come on, Martin. I love you, but your orgeat making is a little intense.
No, it, like I said, when I was making a batch for me at a time, would it be about 16 ounces to 18 ounces? It took about 4 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't practical on a large scale of things. Thankfully, like I said, it was only on one cocktail, so it worked pretty well. But once pecans went out of season, I was just like,
it's not worth it.
Yeah. We'll go back to just regular orgeat.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. For cost reasons, too. I mean, it's just... Sometimes it's just easier to buy something that's already made.
Yeah. I mean, and thankfully, the tree was in my yard. So, I was able to save on cost there. But time is also cost. It's money.
That's also valuable, for sure. Especially when you're doing so many other things. You're trying to develop a menu. Trying to figure out... Where can I use this product that I just made? Or how can I develop something new so that we're not just using it in a Mai Tai?
Yeah.
And it's just getting used in one product. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was a pain, but it was super delicious.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, maybe one day on a larger scale, you know, we'll be able to make our own orgeat. So, I mean, I really enjoyed the process, and I hopefully can find a way to make almonds taste that great, but in due time.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
So, while we're on the process of prepping, how do you... So, I know we were talking the day that we're doing the takeover. So, how does doing something like that or prepping for something like that, like, contrast to your regular day to a Tuesday?
It does not. There is no sleep involved during the takeover versus I get a normal night of sleep of this. I was prepping myself. I did over 70 liters of juice that day, you know, by hand on a small machine. That was an experience to say the least. Like, you know, we could juice, and we juice by hand every single day. But to juice for hours on end, nonstop, it was one of the most, like, surreal, intense experiences I've ever had to do. And we're talking, I'm just juicing. I'm not...
Yeah, you're not making or cooking anything.
It's not game 7 in the NBA playoffs. Like, I'm not trying to hit that free throw. I'm just juicing, and I'm like, geez, this is tough. So, that prep itself, I did all that, and then the guys came in, flew in, and they took care of the rest of it, because I was just like, yo, that's a lot of juice. Like, we probably bought over 400 pounds of produce for that day.
Oh, my gosh.
It weighed a car down. And I was like, all right. So,
and did you use it all?
Oh, yeah. We used it the whole day. I had to come back in the morning and prep for the other event. It was super awesome. It was fun. It made everything worth it at the end of the night when everyone was happy. It got a little hectic for a second, but it was cool.
It was hectic for a little while, for yeah. more than a second. But it was a blast. We had a great time.
Yeah,
it was
like,
And there were so many more people. There were so many more of the usual suspects, the usual Tiki Files out here this year than there were last year. Which last year was great too with Doc. And then this year, for those who weren't here or weren't in the know, it was Kevin from Three Dots.
Yeah, so, that was awesome.
That was a blast.
And we're already working on next year. I'm working on Texas Tiki Week, and then next SACC, and we'll see how that goes.
So have you narrowed down your list of who you want, or do you already know who you want?
There's a list. It's just making sure we're prepared. I thought we were prepared this year, and it's tough to change the bar in 30 minutes, like to switch it to what we need for that new cocktail menu, and so we just have to adjust on that. A couple other things, but I mean that's the whole like beauty of like SACC and what we do is it was just kind of like it was good, almost controlled chaos. It was fun. So yeah, we have a couple more people in mind. We'll see.
I keep telling David they need to come down and do a takeover. Not even for the cocktail conference, just like in the middle of the week. Come do a takeover.
I really want the Lalo guys like come down and do something awesome.
Well, and I know there's so many people like from the San Antonio area who either haven't been out there or they just don't have time to get out there. Like, you guys need to expose them to like
let's do something
the current Texas OG Tiki Bar. Like, you guys brought it back. Obviously, they're not the original Tiki Bar in Texas. There's been many before. But they're the ones most recently during the newest fad, the newest wave of Tiki that have done it. And they're textbook. They're showing people how you should be doing it.
Yeah.
The people that have done it and didn't do well clearly didn't follow the formula. You gotta have cool decor, you gotta have quality cocktails. You gotta have friendly people. That's the other thing that I think the very first podcast that I did with Russell and the crew from Lalo, that was one of the things that I brought up to them. It's the fact that they have the same crew from that I first met when we went in there in 2016 for the first time.
Yeah.
That, you know, these are the same people that... It's Bella and Ben. Ben, unfortunately, is no longer there, but Bella was there. And you know what? Bella's still there. She's still making great cocktails. David, we met on our next trip. David is still there. He's still doing great cocktails. It's just, it's that continuity that you develop a relationship with your bartender. Same thing with you in here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've known each other for a few years now. and I like coming to Hot Joy. And, you know, I'll admit, when we come in and you're not here, I'm a little like, man, Nick's not here. All right, we'll hang out, we'll stick around, we'll have some drinks, but I know they're not Nick's drinks, so they're not going to be as good as they should be. But they're always good. You train your people up right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, when you love something, you love something, you know? And it shows.
And I think that's the hard part, is when you're hiring bar staff, you may be hiring somebody who genuinely is into it. You may just be hiring somebody who's looking for their next gig.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. If they're just looking for their next gig, they're not going to give two shits about it.
Yeah, and this bar is not definitely a next gig type of thing, because it's tough and it's demoralizing at times. Because it's so much different than a classic bar or a speakeasy or anything other than that, because it's prep heavy, it's ingredient heavy.
Yeah, you're not making old fashions.
Yes. And the beauty of it's like, and this is what I try to preach to everybody, it's like, you know, we may not have the decorations. I mean, our decorations are super cool. It's fun, you know, and it's not very traditional.
It's not traditional tiki, but I mean, for what you guys have evolved into with the bar program that you have now versus where Hot Joy was, you know, 6-7 years ago. Yeah, it's definitely evolved into what could be considered the San Antonio Tiki Bar.
Yeah. I mean, and I, like I said, the focus is just escapism. Like, you come into this place, you're already in a different world. You're in a different dimension. You know, and tiki and escapism is literally what it is. You know, with you know, I hate having the TVs. Like, that's, you know, I'll take those TVs home. I could use them at my house. You know, I would get rid of a lot of the windows. Definitely make it darker.
Black out the windows, yeah.
You know, and have a bit more relaxed music. But Hot Joy has that rock and roll vibe. But still, you come in here, you're able to escape. You're able to like, Jesus Christ, this is weird. This is different. You don't get this anywhere. And so for me, it's like making sure every guest is taken care of and happy and fun and having a good time.
And you guys do that.
Yeah. And then having, you know, great drinks, great food. It's kind of just what I've learned to take from this opportunity right now, just because, you know, if I had the money, that would easily be a small tiki bar in this neighborhood. It's not money. A lot of people don't have money. But, you know, I'm able to embrace it with here. I have a great staff, a great crew, and we just kind of do what we have to do. So, that's just what it is.
I think that's a great note to end on, because that just wraps up Hot Joy in its essence. So, Nick, thank you for joining us again for another edition of Maroon.
As always.
So we got Florida Kanya. That is April 30th.
The 30th at 7:30 p.m.
That is a Tuesday.
And then always on a Tuesday, because it coincides with Bring Your Own Tiki Mug.
Okay. And then we got Plantation on May 14th.
Yes.
Which, again, Tuesday, Bring Your Own Tiki Mug. Those are $30 a head. There's going to be rum tastings. There's going to be food and swag given away.
Absolutely.
So definitely make your way out here for that. If there's not a tasting going on, come out, bring your own tiki mug anyway, because you get 20% off the cocktails that are served in that mug. Why would you not do that? Who doesn't need a break on a Tuesday? The week's long as fuck. I mean, come on. Monday's already hard enough. Then you got to add Tuesday into the mix. I mean, goddamn, by Tuesday morning, I need a cocktail. Why would I not want 20% off?
Amen.
So what else you got? You got the new menu. You're going to be going away. Temporarily.
Temporarily,
not,
yeah.
Not permanently. Maybe you'll be back. Maybe it might be permanent. You don't know yet. I haven't been out there.
Yeah, I definitely don't know yet. I mean, just keep your eye on our Instagram. That's like where we're most focused, like, outlet is. There'll be some more stuff going on. I said, hopefully new menu rolls out as soon as I get back. So we're looking second week of April. Maybe I'll grab some ideas, so maybe it'll be a bit longer. But we're shooting for the second week of April.
We're already past the second week of April. I think you mean May.
See,
well, this year is flying by already.
I literally have no idea where I'm at. Yeah. So yeah, May is what we're looking at.
All right, second week of May.
The second week of May.
Okay.
If I come back.
If you come back, there may be a new menu. If you don't come back, we'll have the same menu, but it's still pretty good. I mean, it's still good. There's some quality cocktails on there.
It's fun. Maybe we'll add an extra shareable. We'll see. Maybe something different. I don't know.
I'm noticing a lack of a jet pilot. I see a test pilot, but a jet pilot is missing.
I mean, there's a million like classic cocktails I could add on it.
But I need a jet pilot.
I'm just gonna like shrink the beer to like four beers.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just like have the rest all just classics.
Yeah, there you go. So, I like that idea.
We'll have 45 like drink items, which actually may work.
That could be cool. You know what? That's one of the reasons I love False Idol. They have the classics, and then they have their riffs. I think that's a terrific way to run your menu. Not telling you that you should run your menu like that, but you know what? If you're going to model after a tiki bar, you could do worse than False Idol. But anyway, Nick, thank you again.
Of course.
Have a blast on your trip. Thank you for the delicious cocktails.
Of course.
Come out, Hot Joy, Florida Cognac tasting, April 30th, Plantation tasting, May 14th. Tuesdays, 20% off your cocktails if you bring your mug, and look out for the new menu. And on that note, until next time, Cole Maluna, y'all.